Sentinel Online. Now loading all things Transformers.
Welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Yes, I am here, and it's Thanksgiving week, everybody. There ain't no turkey formers, thank God.
Ain't nothing to gobble here.
Nope. No roast goblin. Roast goblin. Let's just hope it ain't green.
That would just be weird.
Yes, it would. Green and purple goblins? I don't think so.
Although it's been interesting, like, this last week. I don't know if you've paid attention, but, like, BBTS has had a bunch of, like, daily sales.
Yeah, because it's Black Friday week instead of Black Friday day.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've been just paying attention just because I'm like, on the off chance, if there's something decent enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Although everything, like, okay. So this is just off on a tangent here for a moment.
Yep.
It's funny because the deluxe class stayed the same price.
Yeah.
The leader class went up a couple bucks. Voyager class is now $42.99.
Voyager. Wow. Really?
Yeah, I remember back in the day when those were like $15, but when deluxe was like $9, and yeah, now they're like $27.
I don't buy Transformers anymore other than Funko Pops, but non-existent like wallet. Yeah.
The like blaster that's out now, like the SS-86 Voyager blaster, he's $42.99.
Oh.
And Ultra Magnus Studio Series 86 is $89. I mean, he's Commander class, but Commander, I think, is kind of a rip for what size they are.
Yeah.
Considering Grimlock is more of a, you know, larger than they are, and he's $60.
Wait. Grimlock is a Commander class and Ultra Magnus.
He's leader class, but he's bigger physically.
Okay. But he's like cheaper.
Physically, he's bigger.
These
classes are all out of whack. I think they just put Commander class on anything that they want to charge more on.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like the Voyagers were $34.99. Now they're $42.99.
Wow, that's
so. I've prices. Noticed him in the store. I've seen him in the store, and I'm like, I get inflation, I get like tariffs, I get all this, you know, crap. They're still going to pass it on to the customer, and I see that,
of course, yeah.
But it kind of sucks just because it's like, well, you've essentially priced yourself out. Like, you can get Studio Series 86, like, Galvatron and BBTS for, like, $46 now. Which, not bad.
I paid something like $70, but I have the reformatted version of SS-86 Galvatron.
Yeah, I got the regular one, and then I promptly repainted him into Megatron. So, yeah. I mean, looking back, I probably would have left him as just Galvatron.
Yeah.
And just, you know, picked a different source figure for Megatron. But,
yeah.
Oh, well. It is what it is now. I'm not going to make another one.
Yeah.
Still waiting for 86 Megatron to come out.
Yeah, I looked at that again and I was like, oh my god, so he's out other places, it's just BBTS that got theirs delayed till February of next year.
Well, I haven't even seen him in the store.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, because I've looked. I've seen the, now that's this is the funny part. I've seen the whatever the latest, you know, G2 version of Grimlock is.
Right.
I've seen him in the store. And he just came out.
Yeah.
According to the news. He just came out and I've seen him in the store. But I've not seen a Megatron.
Okay.
Granted, I never saw Studio Series 86 Prime hit the store either.
Huh.
So it's really weird. Like a lot of the crap figures get into the store and then, and I say crap and they're not really crap. They're just, they're not the ones that like everybody's clamoring for, you know, they're not the Primes. They're not the Megatrons or, you know, I feel like anymore, the store people are scalping them.
That does not surprise me because I'm fairly certain they've been doing that since like 2001 or earlier, but let's just say 2001.
But yeah, I mean, so there's that. And then I've had fun just kind of seeing what has gone on sale with their Black Friday week deals.
Yeah.
So like they've had like Ironhide from, you know, the Transformers Bumblebee movie. They've had a number of other figures from different lines, you know, not just Transformers, but like Bumblebee.
Uh-huh.
One of the Junkions. They've had, I think there was a Prime or something at one point. J-Axis. Which is funny because J-Axis is like $14 now.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember when you were full price.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't know. I'm entertained by seeing how these things are going, and then I'm waiting to see where we end up with some of the figures and things as they kind of go.
Yeah.
With Black Friday week. I'm hoping some other ones hit a mega sale that I'm eyeballing, but I'm pretty much holding out for Megatron and then that Captain Kirk, even though he's like tail end of next year, and then probably that Stranger Things van just to turn him into like a GCRN vehicle that becomes Ultimus.
Yeah. Yes, that would be so cool.
I think I may actually do that.
I triple dog dare you. I know you don't need the motivation of a triple dog dare from a Christmas story, and I know Thanksgiving is before Christmas, folks, but I triple dog dare you because I think that would be hilarious.
Well, and I would print, you know, I would use our online store and print some decals and, you
absolutely
know, adhere them to the figure, and then I don't know if I would keep them as a van. Like, I don't know if I would turn them into, you know, a truck or keep him as a van or what. Like I don't know what's involved with that because I've never seen the back side of the figure to know how ingrained it is in the figure.
Yeah.
If it's requiring a lot of, you know, reconstructive engineering, I probably won't.
Yeah. I think just keep him as a van anyway, because it's a radio station van. I mean it's just a thing. But yeah, no, that would be super cool. All right, folks. It's comic book time. Comics come first this time around. And I know we normally don't talk about Void Rivals on here, but I wanted to bring this up because Void Rivals is the new arc coming up in December. Issue 25 arrives and it begins with the Quintesson War. Oh boy. Holy crap. War comes to the Sacred Ring. The Quintesson War begins. No one could prepare for an all-out assault from the Quintessons. Derek and Salila must lead their people in the deadliest war they've ever faced. When the dust is settled, the status quo of Void Rivals will be forever changed. Dun, 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 dun. So, as I've mentioned before on the show, the coolest thing to me about the new Energon universe from Image Comics / Skybound Entertainment is that Void Rivals is a wholly unique series unto its own that has Transformers stuff on the edge of the precipice. It had, like, I think the first two or three issues had Jetfire in the background, but the main crux of the story is focused on Derek and Salila, the two main characters of Void Rivals. So that's what is so cool to me about this. And we've been building up to this 25th issue these last 2 years. I can't believe the Energon universe is 2 years old. They just celebrated the two-year anniversary of the Energon universe. And the fact that they are bringing in the Quintessons in this way is just crazy to me. So issue 25 is coming up in December. And then we have the February solicitations for both Void Rivals and Transformers. For Transformers, we have February brings issue 29 for Transformers. February brings issue 27 for Void Rivals. It's Autobots versus Decepticons. And only insert spoiler can turn the tide. Oh boy. And then over on Void Rivals, the Quintesson War continues. The Quintessons gain the upper hand in the brutal war being waged on the Sacred Ring. But could Pythona, out of all people, hold the key to victory? So that's what's coming up in February of 2026. Love these covers from these upcoming issues. Very, very awesome. So those are the comics. And then we will be on this show and the Pullbag next year, hopefully, as long as I can get Joe Reed off his duff and get us caught up on Turtles comics. That's a whole other discussion for another day. But yeah, the Pullbag hasn't had a comic review episode since March of this year. We've been trying to get Turtles comics done and it hasn't happened. But then again, I've had health issues this year. Anyway, and then we have Robosyn Soundwave official reveal date announced. It's December 4th of this year. When the Robosyn stuff started happening, and I'm sure everyone hearing the sound of my voice knows what the Robosyn stuff is. It's automatic robotic stuff with Transformers. They've got Optimus Prime. They've got Megatron. I think they have Bumblebee too. I remember Bumblebee got released because it's Peter Cullen, Frank Welker, and Dan Gilvezan doing their respective characters. I thought it was cool, but I was like, there's no way in hell I would ever be able to afford any of these things. Their latest teaser is something I would basically do the best that I could to save up as much as I could to get it, because, oh my God. Coming December 4th is Robosyn Soundwave. Ah.
Not gonna lie, it's pretty cool.
Like, the teaser video that they have here doesn't really show, the teaser video that Robosyn put up on their YouTube channel doesn't really show anything. Obviously, it's just a teaser. But everybody knows. And yes, it's going, I cannot wait to see how this is going to work. I just hope it's a mother flip. It's Robosyn. I'm pretty sure they're going to secure whatever rights they have to secure to make sure it's a dang tape deck. at least I hope. But yeah. So there's that. And then this past week we had discussed the TFCon LA announcement that from March 13th to 15th out in LA next year for 2026, that they're going to be doing Beast Wars 30th anniversary, and yep. they're going to be getting a bunch of guests together, including Gary Chalk, David Kay. They're going to be getting Neil Kaplan for the 24th. RID. Yeah. Okay. So next year it'll be the 25th anniversary of RID. Right now in this year is where, as we're talking about, is the 24th anniversary, but 25th anniversary of RID, 30th anniversary of Beast Wars. They're also going to get Daniel Reardon, who is the voice of Megatron, Galvatron, and Omega Prime in Transformers RID. So the 25th anniversary of RID. And then the most recent additions to that, the most recent one single edition for 30th anniversary of Beast Wars is none other than Mr. Richard Newman himself, Rhinox. He will be joining TFCon Los Angeles March 13th to the 15th, 2025. Sorry, it's late. I'm old.
I don't know. I'm kind of, I'm very excited for the fact that they're bringing these guys together.
Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for the Ian James Corlett and the Venus Turzo announcement.
And Scott McNeil.
Because you know, if that happens, that script reading, whatever script reading they end up doing, is going to be beyond amazing.
Oh, for sure.
Oh boy. You just know. I'm honestly surprised Scott hasn't already been asked. He probably has been. It just probably hasn't been figured out, or logistics or whatever. Maybe the others have been asked already as well.
Or it's just not been announced.
Yeah, maybe. Probably, most likely. And then the other last bit of news we have is that Stan Bush and Vince DiCola will be performing Saturday, March 14th, 2026 at the world famous Whiskey-A-Go-Go out in Hollywood, California to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Transformers the movie. You can use code TFCon for $5 off your ticket at ticketweb.com. The performance will take place over the TFCon LA 2026 weekend. So I guess it's part of TFCon, but it isn't. I don't know how this is working. I have no idea. Okay, so this reminds, it's story time, folks. Yay. No, seriously. This reminds me of 2016 when they did the last BotCon. At the time, it was the last BotCon.
And I was there.
No, you weren't.
No, I was at the year before.
Yeah, you were in 2015. 2016, they had the last BotCon in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't remember where the hell the last BotCon was held. All as I know is Vince and Stan were performing live down at 4th Street Live in Louisville. It was 4th Street Live is, it used to be this whole, it is an entertainment complex on 4th Street. It used to be the Louisville Galleria, but they, in the last 30 years, they've changed it all and did a whole bunch. It's a whole thing. Anyway, so it was going to be a free concert where people could come down and watch Stan and Vince do their thing. So Lady Rec had come to go to BotCon. So she went to BotCon and I went with her to the free concert because that's all I could afford at the time. And I have pictures of myself in front of the Hard Rock Cafe down there on 4th Street, and I have a picture with myself and her and all that and everything else. And they put on this free concert beforehand. So this kind of reminds me of that, where it's Stan and Vince kind of they're there because that it's a BotCon weekend, but they're not there because they're not actually at the convention itself, kind of thing. So even though this says, you know, the performance will take place over the TFCon LA 2026 weekend, they're not there because of TFCon LA. They're just there performing live, celebrating the 40th anniversary. Like none of this is reading to me that they're there as part of TFCon LA. Hey, I'm glad they're out there doing their thing. That's awesome. I would love to see it. I would probably go to that first for my own proclivities than anything else with the convention, because I'm not a people person. So I don't know. But yeah, no, Stan and Vince, 40th anniversary performance.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. For one, I love both their music.
Yep.
Like, hands down. I still need to listen to Stan's new one.
Yep.
CD.
Yep.
So, his record. No.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. They did announce Venus Turzo, I think.
Did they? Yeah. I didn't see that.
That was today.
Was it really?
I think. Yeah. It's been announced.
Oh, okay. Well, yay.
Yeah. Yeah, Venus Turzo has been announced.
That wasn't in the convention news when I said, okay, this must have, yeah, okay. Yeah, it was announced. Yeah, you know why I didn't see that? Why it's not in the script? It was announced at 9:36 p.m. when I was still asleep. My alarm didn't go off until 10 minutes before the show. So, I mean, yes, okay.
That's cool.
No, absolutely, yeah. Venus will be coming, so there you go. Now we just need to get Scott McNeil and
Ian James Corlett.
Then the whole band will be back together again.
Well, they could still Inferno and Pterosaur, yep. And
yep,
Quick Strike and
yep.
Rampage has passed away. Tarantulas is still around. Depth, yep. Charge.
Alec Willows and David Sobolov. Yep. Born for Battle is Stan's new album, was released September 5th of this year.
Yeah, I still need to listen to it.
Yep. Got 11 songs. It's 42 minutes long.
So as we wind down the news, because I don't suspect there'll be much into holiday season outside of, you know, new figures coming out, maybe. We decided to discuss, you know, five of our favorite Transformers episodes that, you know, either fun or, you know, groups or things that just we kind of go to for Transformers.
Yep. It's more so episodes that we watch.
Yes. Kind of the ones that you just kind of, you know, shut the brain off and have a good time with it.
And with as many as, whether it's Autobots, Decepticons, Predacons, or Maximals, with as many robots as we have in the U.S., and again, folks, want to make this clear, we are looking at the U.S.-based cartoons, at least I am anyway, I don't know about you, but I am. There's a lot of turkeys in, a lot of turkey characters in all those cartoons over the last 41 years. But there are no actual Thanksgiving episodes. There are Christmas episodes aplenty. Human Error Parts 1 and 2, which I left off my list from Animated, is one that I can think of. Why don't you run down your list, sir?
So, my, like, one of my kind of go-to favorite episodes are Fire in the Sky.
Really?
From G1. Yeah.
Yeah, well, one is I know. Snow. Which one is. Okay.
You get, you know, oh, you know, not Snowman, you know, Spike Snowbot. And, I mean, you get Scatman in there. You get him, you know, having fun doing a snowball fight. You get, you know, Jetfire or Skyfire.
Yeah.
And so that, funny enough, the first, I think the first episode of G1 that I saw was this, and then like the Plague of the Insecticons or something. I think it was just the way that they had them bundled and at the VHS tapes.
Uh-huh.
And we saw this while I was at my dad's house, and we rented, you know, movies or cartoons or whatever. And we watched this, and I was like, oh, this one's fun. Like, I like this one, you know, and got to see a little backstory in Starscream. And at the time, I liked Starscream more than I liked Megatron. So it was kind of fitting. And then, I don't know, just it ends with like the, you know, the very Christmassy green at the end, you know, with Skyfire in the ground.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of sad.
Yeah, very sad. Poor Skyfire.
But it was snow. It was snow, so it was fun.
It was snow. Yeah, my number five is the only episode in the entire 41-year history that I can remember that actually reminds me of Thanksgiving. Because it always those damn wild baked bean vines always makes me think of Thanksgiving. You always got to go down the low road, man.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna go there.
Hey, at least it's only at least it's only number five. At least it's only number five and not any higher.
But true.
That episode, like, that's as scared as you're ever gonna see Megatron. Like, the rest of that series and into Beast Machines, I've never seen Megatron as scared as I saw him when he had Rhinox's ass right in front of his face. Not wild bean vines.
No, no, anything but that.
What? No. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a fun episode despite, you know,
the
explosive flatulence.
Yes. And we all know some crazy uncle that has the explosive flatulence at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Yeah,
he be blowing chunks, yo.
Don't nobody come in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Do not go in there.
Woo. That's right.
Ace Ventura.
That's right.
So, yeah, my number four is Return of Optimus Prime Part 2. More so because it's like, oh, we get a gift. We get Optimus Prime back.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I mean, season 3 wasn't going very well, and then season 4 was kind of a crapshoot because they were just like, we need to sell toys. Put as many characters as you can in here. And then The Matrix was kind of a crapshoot too in this, but I liked the fact that they brought Prime back. And then my original idea for Optimus actually stemmed from this Optimus Prime being all painted in the impervious
metal.
Yeah. The white metal.
Yeah.
That was what spawned the idea for Optimus. And I was like, hey, give him a fusion cannon, do this, you know, and then he's a clone of Prime. And I created that, you know, in the late 90s.
Yep.
And then so I actually painted a junky G1 Prime that I had.
Nice.
To look like it, because I didn't realize that if you got like an Ultra Magnus, it came with a white Prime.
Right.
So it was like early on when I was into my Transformers fandom. And so I don't have either of those anymore. So like when I recollected I got the War for Cybertron Ultra Magnus. I sold the armor and I kept the underbody,
right,
which was, you know, white. And then I changed the color of like the helmet and you know, the hands and the legs, and I made them the kind of like a kind of a brushed metal, kind of a nice graphite metallic.
Yep. Very cool, very cool. Oh boy. the series finale for animated would be my number four, Endgame parts one and two. It's more specifically for part two, and it's only one thing, at least this time around for this list. That ending music by the composer Sebastian Evans II, that is some of the, this really has nothing to do with Thanksgiving or holidays or anything else, but that Hero's Welcome track. And it's funny because I didn't even know that, like, I didn't think the animated score was anywhere. And it was maybe a year, couple of years after animated had gone off the air. I was bombing around SoundCloud of all places and platforms online. And I just so happened to look up Transformers animated score. And all of a sudden I find Sebastian Evans II. And I'm like, huh? Oh. So he was the composer on the show. Oh, he's got all of the tracks from the show. Okay, I guess I have to use SoundCloud more. But that last bit is called Hero's Welcome. It's when they go back home to Cybertron. And I just love that end music there. So, yep, that's that one. Number three for you, sir.
Next one is Endgame Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the ultimate battle royale of Optimus Primal and Megatron. And Megatron is seemingly winning. And Primal has to have a last minute save. You know, like a football game. He has to have, you know, the ultimate coach come in and, you know, save his bacon because he's getting his butt mopped.
Mm-hmm.
He really was optimal Megatron here.
Mm-hmm.
Took out the whole planet, not once, but twice.
Twice. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't say that for any other villain in Transformers history.
Nope.
This Megatron was by far the most, like, he started off as a gangster.
Yep.
And then became by far the most brutal Megatron in all of Cybertronian history, like to the point that he took out everyone when he hit the planet with a virus.
Yep.
Yep. And then he took everyone out again by taking their sparks.
Yep. So do we know how much time it was between the time that Megatron hit Cybertron and the time that the Maximals hit Cybertron?
So we don't. However,
okay.
I estimate that there's a good, you know, I'm assuming because Megatron's in like the state of repair that he is, and he's had so much time to take over factories and to send his virus. And I'm assuming he's been on the planet for about 100 years, because you're thinking he's doing it solo.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Time travel is crazy, folks.
He hit them while, you know, before the, honestly, it seems like right around the Maximal upgrade. Like it's kind of crazy because you still see G1 style robots sitting in the junkyard.
Yeah, exactly. Which
they should be gone.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's nuts. Well, my number three is also the same, because the seeds of the future lie buried in your ass. So, you know, same thing. This episode just, and Beast Machines as a whole, it's the one, like, Yes, Beast Wars is an awesome show. It's what started the era. It's what gave us, what led way to Beast Machines. Beast Wars had amazing stories in it. But when you get that hope of, I'm not looking it up, but I'm not typing anything. What's the finale to Beast Wars? What's the title? I forget.
Oh, I should know this.
You should know this, Megatron.
I should know this.
Damn it. Anyway, you get the finale for Beast Wars where they're everybody getting the ship. We're going home. Oh boy, I'm gonna show you all my spare Waspinator parts collection.
Nemesis and part 1 and 2.
Nemesis, that's what it is. How the hell did I not know that? Nemesis, yeah. Part 1 and 2. Yeah. When you get to Nemesis Part 2, you get to the end of that, and every Megatron seemingly defeated and yada, 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 yada. They're packing up. They're doing all the stuff and everything else. And then he kind of comes back and he does his thing and whatever, whatever, whatever. He ends up on the outside of their ship and everybody leaves prehistoric Earth and all this and all that. And they head home to Cybertron. You expect a happy ending, because we see on Earth kind of sort of until Waspinator says something stupid and he has the proto humans come after him. Waspinator kind of gets his own happy ending, but meanwhile, you know, in time and space, or in space and time, or maybe it's just time travel, you have the ship hurtling towards Cybertron 100 years into the future or whatever the hell. Megatron got flung off. And he goes first, and then they have to pre-plan and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you assume that when you start the next series, it's going to be, oh, everybody, no, it's dark, it's brooding, it's this, it's that. Cybertron's basically a desert. 1999 was Y2K. 2020, everybody knows what happened in 2020. Mm-hmm. We're not far enough away from 2020 yet for I can say, I'm not saying, everybody knows. We're far enough, we're 26 years away from Y2K that I can say Y2K. And we weren't podcasting back then. So only Radio Free Cybertron was quote unquote podcasting back then. Anyway, event to event, you have one event to the other event kind of thing, where it's like, oh right, we have empty cities and empty cities. We have empty cities on Cybertron in 1999. We have empty cities on Earth in 2020. Whoops. Well, I guess fiction well, Mike, you done just fucked up right there, didn't you? Well, you know, I do these things a lot of times. Anyway, but yeah, Seeds of the Future, absolutely love it. It was a perfect ending to a perfect series. Beast Machines isn't technically perfect, I guess, but it has its moments. But overall, I still love that show. I can overlook most of the things I find wrong with Beast Machines at the end of the day are just nitpicks. Like, I really don't find anything wrong with it. I know other people can find things wrong with it. And after we've talked to Robert Enskier a couple of times about it over the years, it's like, oh, that's what you were going for? Cool. Hey, once you get the story from the writer's mouth, folks, you really can't go wrong. So,
very true.
Number two, what do you got?
Optimal Situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I put this one here specifically because I remember, you know, being hyped up for, you know, Cartoon Network had taken on Beast Wars at this point, and I was kind of like, okay, I am game. Like, I really want this stuff, you know, for Prime to be in it. And we got Prime, we got, you know, Optimus getting transformed into Optimal Optimus. And then, of course, I bought the toy and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like the biggest Transformer I have. And he's a, you know, it's a four X Transformers in, you know, four different modes. And it just by far my favorite Transformer for years. Still to this point, one of my favorite, like even with having like I have a Transart Optimus or Optimal Optimus, which is show accurate. And then I have Optimal Megatron because I printed a head and put it on the Power of the Primes Megatron or Optimus Primal.
Right.
So I absolutely love this episode. You get all of the guys coming back together. You get them, you know, despite all of the, you know, the horrors of the Predacons and the Decepticons, you get, you know, kind of the aftermath of it. You get them recouping together on the Axelon Bridge in the Ark area. And honestly, it's just it's like them coming home and being together, you know, on a single-minded mission there to protect the Ark. And I liked how they all came back together, both sides.
It's a good thing they're robots, or else I would put a really dirty joke in right here.
Yep. Wah, wah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Optimal Situation is awesome. I forget, is it in Optimal Situation, or is it not in here? Take it outside. When does he say that?
It was Optimal Situation.
That's what I thought.
Because I love that Megatron line. And Inferno were standing there, and
Prime,
you know, Optimal goes, not here. Take it outside. I have 4 million years. You know, he goes, I wouldn't upset history. You know, and he goes, I have 4 million years to clean you off the walls, Megatron. I might risk it.
Yep.
And then Rat Trap's like, for booting up Cold, would you just shoot him? I'm trying not to resort to that. Well, I will. No.
No.
Then he's like, Waspinator, no.
Yeah, I love that line. Optimal Situation rules.
It was by far one of my favorite episodes. Plus, it gave Optimus Primal pretty much his season one head back. With a slight color change, and they changed the earpieces to be more like Optimus Prime, but
that's okay.
They made him look more like his season one head, which is like I liked the season two Transmetal body, but I love the Optimus the original season one body more, and then Optimal Optimus I like because it's kind of a nice upgrade.
It's an amalgamation of both of them. Yep. All right. Well, we got the scoop back in 2010 on this, but Rebirth is my number two. Rebirth parts 1 through 3 from Generation One. We talked to David Wise. May the man rest in peace. He's been gone a number of years now, but. Originally, Rebirth was supposed to be a 5-parter. It then got cut to a 3-parter because of budgets, whether that be Sunbow or Hasbro or Marvel or whoever. But I remember not only on the original Rhino DVDs, as well as David telling us that how do you fit 120 characters into blah, 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 blah? Well, like he literally did the math on the whole thing. That's like 5 characters every 10 seconds. That's whatever it is, whatever the math, I forget what literally he had done all the math on it. Like, I know that's a lot of people's issues with the Rebirth as far as like how they had to fit all the characters in. And I know everyone is going to say, oh, it's just there to sell toys. Well, it was still a good story because at the end of the day, guess what it got us? It got us a new golden age of Cybertron, even though they never did anything with it after that because it was 1987 and unfortunately, Generation 1 was going away and we were going to get whatever the hell we got later. I don't even, well, G2, but the Cybernetic Space Cube is not G2. Just admit that. But well, what I love,
Japan at least, you know, thought ahead. And
gave us
10 masters and continued it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But what the reason why Rebirth is my number two and not my number one, it was going to be my number one, but the reason why it went to number two is because this is how I found Transformers after the movie. I found it on video cassette in 1988 because I was watching Power Master Optimus Prime with the Cybernetic Space Cube on TV 2 years after the movie. I didn't even realize. I was 8 years old at the time. I was like, oh, okay. I saw the movie when I was seven on VHS, because I think by that time the movie was out on VHS in 87. Didn't even know. And I saw at the Adventure in Video in Kingston, Massachusetts, Transformers The Rebirth on VHS. And I was like, Transformers The Rebirth? What is that? And just like with any of the other VHSs from Family Home Entertainment at the time, I had my mom rent it, took it home, and for whatever 7-day rental or whatever, however many day rental it was, I watched that tape until it almost never worked. And no, it's just, look, man, that,
no, it's I just get
the
it.
Way we did stuff back then. But literally, I watched those three episodes. So, like, Decepticons, yeah, Roll Bar, big angry guys, you know, want to all beat us down into scrap metal. Like, I know who they are. I'm just wondering what they want. When we get outside, you can ask them. Like, I know those lines word for word from the beginning of the first part. And I'm not even looking at, like, I know Rebirth like the back of my hand. And I didn't care about buying the toys. Like, yeah, would I like a Target Master Hot Rod? Did I want a Target Master Hot Rod Cup and Blur? Absolutely, back then. I think I had a couple of Target Master Hot Rods. But, I mean, just it's just a fun story. And just the one time then and now, I like Optimus up to a point. I liked him up to a point when he sacrificed himself on the field of battle. And then he was on life support. And then he handed his MacGuffin off to the wrong guy. And then the wrong guy ended up in pieces on the planet of junk. And then the right guy got the job. And then they had to give it back to the wrong guy later. Anyway, but the Rebirth would be my number two. So, drum roll, what is your number one favorite episode at the time of this recording, sir?
This one has been... kind of a combination one that I've enjoyed for just years. It's when I want just fun, feel-good episodes, it's Coming of the Fusers, Part 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Part 2, but it's kind of a package deal. Like,
I
really enjoy the Western motif. I really enjoy the sarcasm, the, you know, chasing space comets with his mind with Rhinox and Rat Trap taking the lead and, you know, having to run around with Cheetor and Dinobot, and then you got Megatron bringing in Silverbolt and Quickstrike and has Inferno, and Tarantulas is coming, you know, around. And then, you know, we end up with, you know, basically a standoff. The Maximals getting, you know, pelted. And then, of course, they run out of ammo.
Yep.
Which never happens in the show.
Nope.
And then you get Primal coming back, and then the sheer shock on everyone's face as they're like, Primal, destroy him. And Primal's got, you know, the shield, and he's like, well, that's just Prime. And then takes out all the Predacons.
Yep.
Except for Megatron, because Silverbolt rams him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Just there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of heart. There's a lot of, you know, them coming back together, them talking to Primal. It's just all the way around. It's a feel good episode. I enjoy. And when I want to watch Beast Wars, it's kind of one of the main ones I go to, even if I'm kind of casually or passively watching, because I know what happens, but I always like instantly kind of pause when you know, they're like, comes the dawn, and then they're all laying on the ground, pretty much dead. And Primal just blows up the side of the ship and takes them out.
Absolutely. So they, in their infinite wisdom, Hasbro, when did they do this? They did this, I forget when they did this off the top of my head. They released a Beast Wars soundtrack, finally. And I believe it was only a certain number of tracks.
Yeah, it was like 10.
Yeah.
I was kind of... I wish they would have done more. But I think it's a combination of Hasbro and, like, Mainframe being a pain.
Yeah, so... They released this, it was 14 songs. It was 27 minutes. They released this last year. And the one thing I don't understand is why isn't the stuff from this episode, from Coming of the Fusors, the Western motif, why isn't that on this score? Because
I wish we had all of the seasons represented, you know, in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's why Hasbro, and if you're listening, Hasbro, which I hope you are, but I highly doubt you are, because whatever. I know we're just a lowly network that's only been around for 16 and a half, almost 17 years. Anyway, if you're listening, Hasbro, team up with La La Land Records, lalalandrecords.com. If they would team up with them and actually do, instead of Hasbro Presents the Transformers Beast Wars original soundtrack and have it under their own, like, okay, so and I know we've already gone through this before, but just to remind people, the 14 tracks that are on here are the opening and closing themes, so the original theme songs. We then have The Probe, Possession, which Possession is season 2 or 3. That's not from season 1.
That's season 1.
Possession is season, really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Starscream.
Yeah, I know it's Starscream.
Yeah, it's season 1. They're all in, there's no Transmetals.
Okay. Into Battle, The Web, Other Voices, Fallen Comrades, Guerrilla Warfare, Call of the Wild, The Low Road, One Unusual Planet, Victory, Spider's Game, and that's it. So, yeah, I wish they would do more and do it better. And the only way you're going to do it better, Hasbro, is if you team up with La La Land Records. And I know that means technically physical CD releases. But La La Land Records has done digital releases before. So I don't know.
I don't care. I would want a physical release if they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you know, folks, if Megatron gets his hands on AWS again, and everything goes down, we all gonna be needing physical media.
Yeah. Could be.
Could be. You never know. When all else fails, blame the artificial intelligence and blame the robots.
Exactly.
That's right.
And your last episode, sir?
That's right. I forgot my last episode. Whoops. That would be the burden hardest to bear, because that is the one emotional journey that Hot Rod / Rodimus Prime goes on. That would be my number one favorite for right now. Kind of always is my number one, because it's his journey that he goes through and everything else. And is that the one where he actually has to go through the whole thing with the thing? Is that the one where he goes through the Matrix? I think. No, that was not it. But anyway, you know, in that one, Cup talks to him about Optimus Prime losing his Yeti, and Yeti in a Japanese word is a Japanese word, supposedly, according to the episode, where he's, you know, losing the will to do whatever. And really, TF Wiki? There we go. Well, usually you type in their search thing and it'll immediately pull it up of blah 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 blah. Yeah, so he loses the Matrix and he wakes up. You no longer possess the Matrix of leadership. And this is where Scourge steals it from him and he has to get it back, and it sends him on this hunt. Yeah. We get the deformed Scourge, because Scourge tries to. So in this, on Earth, Hot Rod, while watching a martial arts class, gets some perspective and learns some wisdom from the kendo instructor, and realizes that he needs to get the Matrix back. Meanwhile, Scourge arrives in Japan, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, he loses his focus. He loses his way of, you know, of life. Kind of, he loses his purpose in life. That's what I mean to say, not his way of life. And yeah, so I just really enjoy that one. And these episodes always change, folks. That's why I said these are our favorites at this moment right now in 2025. Our lists fluctuate a lot. So there's that.
That they do.
Yep.
So I think that about rounds out this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if the peoples would like to hear specific things on the next episode of All Things Transformers, let us know if you'd like certain topics or a certain discussion on things. I could always review a couple of my Transformers figures or printed figures.
Yep.
But yeah, so anything for you, sir?
I don't know anymore. I honestly don't know anymore. No clue.
Alrighty then. So, thank you as always for listening to All Things Transformers. You can interact with the show on the website, geekcastradio.com. And be sure to check out some of the stuff on the top 100 nominees. And until next time, transform and transcend.
Yeah.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.